Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm joined as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, Aston Villa 3, Bournemouth 0. We finally got the drubbing that I've been calling for. How are you doing, mate?
Yep, that's exactly what I thought, mate, watching this game. And it all came so late on, but it happened. 3 goals, 3 points, none conceded, clean sheet. Going into the international break on a high, and it always feels good when you do that, doesn't it? When you've got an international break and you pick up a win beforehand, I just feel that it keeps the mood of the club up, you know, during these couple of weeks. You can go off and enjoy it a little bit more, puts a spring in your step. It always feels good when you do this. And we've got an especially big game when we come out the other side of it as well. So I feel like going into this international break on a high, keeping the spirits levels up at Bodymore is important, because that game against Chelsea, I believe it's on the 1st, is a big one.
It is, especially after their draw with Everton today. Obviously keeps us within touching distance in the table. And, you know, I think this is it. Obviously the England squad got announced on Thursday, which was, did we speak about the England squad? I don't think we did.
I don't feel we did, no.
I think we may have. Well, I think we may have.
Unfortunately, there wasn't much to speak about, was there? That's
exactly.
The problem.
Exactly. There was no Ollie. There was no Tyrone, and they both played today. They were a bit sort of aggrieved by that, which is obviously good because they put in a very good performance. And we only really. I mean, Dan does enjoy the international break, as long time listeners know. Dan is a fan of every break, and you'll catch Dan up at 3 a.m. watching Panama versus Costa Rica, and he'll be all over it. And do you know what? I rate it, mate. I do genuinely rate it. But these kind of games, I'm not really that bothered about our players not really being involved in. We know a few of the guys have been called up, but we only really care about the English ones. There's that. But I mean, Tyrone Mings was immense today, mate, wasn't he? How good was he? It really felt like he was everywhere. And I don't we've won 3-0, obviously really happy. Don't want to come on here and slate anyone, because I don't think anyone was really bad either. But the only thing that I would say to sort of start with our negative, and then we can sort of go on with the positive, optimistic podcast that we are, there's about 5 times where Ezri was caught ball watching or trying to play too high to play Solanke offside. And could have been punished, and there was the one notable chance where Tyrone steamrolls through about 30 yards, manages to catch up with Solanke and gets a vital block in when he was trying to get a shot off at the near post. He was everywhere today, mate, Tyrone. He was absolutely wonderful. And it was just the performance and the manner in which we managed to get this win. You know, it was difficult at parts, mate. It was hard fought out, it was a bit of a graft at times as well. But simultaneously, the football that we played was absolutely just stunning to watch at times as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Ty had a great game, mate. You look at the numbers, courtesy of our good mate Dale at AVFC Stato, 100% of both his duels won, aerial and ground, 3 out of 3 and 2 out of 2, respectively. 2 headed clearances, 2 clearances, 2 blocks, 100% dribble success, 90 touches, 1 big chance created, 2 chances created, an 88% passing accuracy, and to top it all off, an assist. And he could probably and should probably have had a goal to go along with that as well. It was a great performance, and it's a really interesting time for these centre-backs, because there's a face on the bench which everyone at Villa is really excited to see, apart from Ezri Konsa and Tyrone Mings, who will be nervously looking over their shoulder because Diego Carlos is back. And they know that realistically he's going to come back into this team at some point in the, you know, hopefully not too distant future. And it's a really interesting one, because there isn't really a, you know, you feel that it could swing either way, really. I think, you know, we saw at the start of the season, Ty dropped to the bench, and we saw the impacts that had on the team. And obviously, you know, we'll know well about that. And so it is probably Ezri that will be first in that slammer to see his name dropped out of the team sheet in place of Carlos. And when Mings is playing like that, it only sort of heightens that case, doesn't it? But you know, looking at the here and now, mate, it was a great performance. It's one where we didn't always have it easy. I'm not going to say that the scoreline flattered us or anything like that, because, you know, we should have had two or three penalties along the way, which I'm sure we'll get into. But it's one where the clean sheet is what really stands out there, and it helps Emmy on his, you know, he tied, I believe, Mark Bosnich and Brad Friedel for the most Premier League clean sheets after 100 games with the Villa, all on 33. I think Emmy's actually on 99 games. So if we can keep a clean sheet at Stamford Bridge, which isn't impossible, it would be a nice record for him. But I thought, yeah, actually had one or two moments today, but as a whole, I was really impressed with the defence today. I thought Cash had a good game. I thought Moreno looked threatening down the left-hand side again. And yeah, obviously, you know, three goals that, like, all our attackers will take the plaudits today. But yeah, I think that performance from Mings maybe went a little under the radar.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant, mate, honestly. And I mean, you know, Ezri's all, you know, he's robbed of a goal as well himself, really, with that corner ball. What did it look like to you? Because from where I was sat, you could kind of see the ball had sort of gone out. Yes. But I wasn't convinced that it was entirely over the line. Yeah. And then it gets given as a corner, and it's one of them ones where I think the Bournemouth players were clearly protesting and saying, well, we stopped playing because we thought it was out, obviously, to which the referee would have said, well, you play to my whistle. I felt really aggrieved at the time. What were your thoughts on that, mate? Because, I mean,
yeah.
I could see either side, but obviously in the ground at the time, I really did feel like that was a legitimate goal.
It's a shame because, as I said, like, there are so many. We could have had three penalties for handball today. That one, it does go out of play. I think everybody now, because of that famous Germany-Japan game at the World Cup, anytime a ball goes out of play, you're always hesitant to jump at it at first, because we all thought that, you know, Japan's had for that, you know, quite now famous goal. But this one was a classic case on the broadcast of, you know, have you seen that Mark Goldbridge clip where he's playing FIFA and, like, it goes to goal line technology?
Exactly what you're saying.
And it's not over the line, and then it plays on and it is. So that happened on the broadcast. So I was like, it's not over the line. It's not over the line. It should be a goal. And then it rolled out, and I was like, oh, that's definitely. And it comes off a Bournemouth player before it goes out. So that's it. That was why, after the goal, it went out for a corner, because it came off for a Bournemouth player. Tyrone then kept it in, and it somehow fell at the feet of Ezri Konsa. But yeah, that one was, of all the decisions that were contentious today, after seeing the replay, that probably wasn't one of them.
That's fair enough. I think that Goldbridge, it was a Weghorst goal as well, which kind of makes it funny that in that place. That's a pretty, I bloody love that. I think to go back to your point about Carlos, mate, maybe it's not Konsa and Mings that get dropped. Maybe it's Matty Cash. I think, you know, we know Emery likes to play a sort of a defensive elbow, sort of right back in one fourth at Villarreal. And yep. I don't necessarily think that we'd be in the market for fourth, but I think maybe in the summer we'd be in the market for a defender of that start. You know, think of your Ben White's at Arsenal, that kind of player who, you know, is sort of good two ways, but is mainly a sort of an elbow right back. We've seen Ezri play it right back under Dean Smith under the lockdown year, and it wasn't particularly something I was ever fond of. But, you know, we're talking about a completely different kettle of fish here with Unai and the coaching that he will get, you know, with no disrespect at all intended to Dean. I wonder if we could see Ezri at right back. I wonder if that is an option. Or maybe even Diego. I would probably prefer him in the centre, but he's athletic enough where he can probably, you know, sort of in terms of recovery and stuff like that, could play at right back, but it's an interesting one. I think that's probably a position that we will look to strengthen in the summer. Mate, so many contentious decisions in this game, as you say. The worst of all is the Jacob Ramsey one, and I think the frustrating thing about it is it's almost like the misery is compiled in the fact that if he doesn't handball it, JJ's just scored an absolute screamer. And then we don't get the penalty. We've been double done there, haven't we? Like, it's a really nice set piece that was worked. It was sort of played short, come back out to JJ. And maybe JJ listens to the podcast, because, you know, we was kind of sat after West Ham going, oh, you know, like, not that he played bad, but we were sort of worried for him. And I think after that performance, he really turned it on today. He was on. It's hard to pick one man of the match because there were so many solid performances, but JJ is definitely up there for me today, man. Obviously gets his goal as well eventually. So yeah, JJ, if you listen to the podcast, JJ, let us know in the comments.
he was back to his best, mate. And it's so great to see. It's so great to see. Like, I'm not just on in a footballing sense, but I just think Villa Park and the club is better when JJ is playing well, because obviously I felt like the baton sort of got passed to him. Jack left and JJ sort of properly emerged the season after. And it's always great when you have that pathway. And for him to, obviously, we got all that content of him at the academy, or the new academy structure, just outside of BC. And then for him to go on and score in the next game, it's just nice. And I was really happy for him. And look, he scored better goals in his Villa career. There have certainly been better finishes. I think Neto helps him out a fair bit, but he earned it. He earned it. And, you know, that's what it always comes down to, is that it caps the performance. And, you know, as you say, you rightly say, it's probably some good karma, because he has that chance, which Stevens saves. It's probably the right word. He tips it over the bar with his hand. It's a save. It's one where you always fear the worst when you see those decisions, don't you? Because it's like, oh my God, here we are again. Another part, like, you know, Bournemouth go up the other end and score, and all of a sudden we're on the podcast ranting and raving about these decisions. And, you know, and this was probably my overwhelming emotion coming away from the game, is that it didn't look great on 70 minutes when it was still 1-0. Bournemouth, it felt like we're growing into the game a little bit. A lot of the football has been played in our half. They had some good chances, and it felt like, oh my God, we've seen this film one too many times. And there are so many instances where I think we get to that point in the game and you can almost see the difference in coaching and the way that we approach these situations, because I have seen Villa teams concede to Bournemouth in those situations, and like, we end up walking away after a 1-1 or, God forbid, a 2-1 defeat. And the fact that we press on and we go and get, you know, obviously one goal ruled out for offside, and then we go and get two more, it's just complete. It feels different in those situations. The way that we manage games is so refreshing. And I think that's the biggest credit that we can pay to Unai, really, is that we keep going into these situations. And look, I the football is getting better, and I wasn't, as you say, it wasn't one where we completely blew Bournemouth off the park today, but we were just efficient and we managed the game well. And that's something that we spoke about after West Ham, wasn't it? Was that, like, we didn't have the ability to dominate games and control tempos and stuff like that. And we sort of had a few worrying moments. I'm not going to shy away from that. But on the whole, the way that we got a grip of that game, just as it felt like the balance was shifting, was really good. And obviously, for it to be JJ that sort of puts the icing on the cake, and then Buendia that puts the cherry on top, was just a really good day out. And 3-0, as you say, we've had a result coming like that for some time. And I think this one we didn't question Emery. That's not the right word to say, but you know, there were a few with his substitutions and stuff like that after West Ham. It didn't feel great, but I thought he played this one perfectly.
Yeah, I think efficiency is the right word, mate. As you say, that it kind of became a bit of a melee for a little bit, for sort of 10-15 minutes, and it was sort of end to end. But then we spent pretty much the last 10 minutes parked in their box with the constant succession of corners and goals that were scored and all.
Yeah.
Like, and that for me is the difference. That's important, that when, you know, they've turned the pressure on, we've been able to fight fire with fire, managed to get the ball up the other end of the pitch, and then we've kept them under so much pressure, you know, with the disallowed bit goal. Obviously they had the backs up and they were sort of worried. The pressure's then instantly put straight back on them with the corner. And, you know, as you say, the way the players managed that and sort of executed Unai's vision is everything you could ask for and more. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen Premier League table since Unai Emery has taken over has us sat in third, 24 points from a potential 42. Won 8 of his 14 game. Absolutely, mate, it's remarkable. It's honestly, it we're witnessing greatness. If we can keep this up next season, then boy, we're going to be in for a special one. I wanted to talk. I don't want to talk about Leon Bailey, but I do. Mainly because I just feel like we're just sort of like, it feels like Emery's just putting him in the firing line by playing
yes.
him now.
Yes.
And I know
yes.
you said a few weeks ago, mate, we need to take him out. And the only, like, first of all, people are so, you know, short-sighted. He literally assisted the first goal. So he had an impact on this game. I'm not by any means saying that Leon set the world on fire, because he absolutely didn't. And I couldn't help but feel like we probably should have needed to pull him off sooner. But there was a, generally the atmosphere was okay to that, but there was a bloke behind me who I'd never seen before. And he was, you know, he was calling Leon, he said he'd see him next Tuesday. Not that we're monetized at the moment anyway, but that would definitely get us demonetized if I said that. He called him a useless, see you next Tuesday. And I just thought, like, are you being serious? Like, are we actually at the point where, listen, this is one person. I'm not by any means branding the whole of our fan base as ignorant buffoons. But like, it was over like just something stupid as well. Like it was like a slightly underhit pass when we were like, when we still sort of had, like it was so arbitrary to sort of go to that extreme. And I looked around. I almost said to him, I didn't. He probably would have smacked me. But I looked at him like, are you serious? Like, are we like, don't do that. Just let's, like, by all means criticize and moan if, you know, he scored an own goal or he's done whatever, but like one underhit pass and you're saying that to him, get a grip, man. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And yeah, you know, but the atmosphere on a whole was like fine. Like, it's been better. It's been worse. It seems like it's been a massive talking point of the fan base a lot recently. Especially when you've got like shite accounts like AVFC Faithful saying stuff about how crap the atmosphere is when he's never even there. That kind of stuff really bothers me, because like generally it's fine. And like there are still the sort of the boos and the jeers very quietly when we're sort of, you know, maybe passing backwards or taking our time. But so without wanting to sound like a broken record, that's how we're playing football now. We're being patient. Like, there's this giant misconception that Manchester City are an exciting team to watch. They're not. Not unless you support them. It's some of the most boring football ever. It's only ever gung-ho end-to-end in the big games for them, when they're trying to deal big blows with the likes of Liverpool and Manchester United and Chelsea. Manchester City versus Bournemouth, 3 p.m. on a Saturday, mate, is about as entertaining as it was for us today.
Yeah.
Which is a good... I mean, I don't find it... Personally, I don't find it boring, the fact that we're, you know, being more patient and we're trying to be more articulated with how we play the game. I can understand why people are frustrated, because it's not being played at a fast pace. It's not to dismiss the sort of the qualms and the criticisms that some people may have, but it ain't changing. If anything, it's only going to get slower and slower and slower until the right pass is on, and then it's quick. Like, that's how we're going to play.
Yeah, and who are we to begrudge that?
Exactly.
You know, you just mentioned the run of form since Unai came in. Who are we to suggest we should be playing any other way? This is the best Villa team that we've seen since we came up. And, you know, we've had three, if you include like Danks and people like that, three or four managers have had a crack at the whip in that time. And this is the best that we've been. It's one where, on Leon. I find it really hard to speak on at this point, because I do think he would benefit from a spot out of the team.
Yeah.
But then you look to the bench, and it's not as easy as that, because Bertrand Traoré for Leon Bailey, for me, is the most pointless substitution in football. Like, I just think you're getting, like, it's almost as if you don't make one, honestly.
I don't know. I think in terms of output, they're probably about the same. So I know where you're coming from. I do feel like today, Bertie probably shielded the ball. He looks after the ball a bit better than Leon does.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's like world beater by any means. And I know how much you love Bertie as well. So this isn't like,
this isn't from
a place of like cynicism or naivety or whatever.
Yeah.
Dan has Bertrand Traoré's shirt.
Do you.
Exactly. We have his shirt. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. I do feel he was okay. He was better than
yes.
Leon.
Yeah,
and he has a shot on goal that's obviously deflected as well today.
Yeah, this is look. It's not like I just feel that they are similar players, and I don't feel like either is going to come on and change the game in place of the other. Is probably what I'll say. And obviously, you look at the bench, and I mean, we've got one player. Bournemouth have more players on the bench than we do, and we've got two goalkeepers on ours. So we're really short-staffed at the moment in terms of that position. We've known this for a little while. John Duran is the obvious one, and it's one where we don't really know what the plan is for him. It's very easy, and you know, when we watch these games as fans and we see this kid come in with all the ambition in the world and all the passion and all the desire to come on, and he's gung-ho and he's 110% and he puts everything into every minute that he plays, it's so easy to want to see more of that. But I think you have to temper expectations, yeah. And we have to trust the people at the club to embed him into the team slowly and in the correct way. And so it's difficult right now to sort of imagine a sort of Villa, because we've shifted away from Emery's chosen formation, really. Obviously, we've known for a long time. He's wanted to play that 4-2-2. We now play a 4-2-3-1, it seems. And so, we're winning games. And so it's hard to criticise it too much. I do feel for Leon. Obviously, he's got the assist today. And it was a very good one at that, I think it should be said.
Yeah, it was.
A very good one. And is it, you know, Dougie's right place, right time. And I thought Dougie was excellent today. I thought he was excellent. The biggest credit that I can pay Douglas Luiz is that right now it doesn't feel like we're missing Bouba Kamara all that much. And
I think that's a credit on John McGinn as well, mate. I thought he had another really good game.
Yep, totally. Our midfield has really stepped up in that regard. I think on the whole, it's you can't be too nitpicky after a result like this. It's great. And as I said, I mean, 89th minute to score. We have this reputation for going ahead early in games, and to bookend that with a couple of points. I thought Moreno was really good value down the left again. And I mean, whilst we're talking about substitution, I think it was really nice, and the atmosphere at Villa Park and everything like that, which you were speaking about, the reception that David Brooks got when he came on was lovely. Obviously, that's his first appearance, I believe, since obviously was it leukemia or some form of cancer? The battle that to see him come back and have that moment was really nice. I mean, obviously, my first fear was that he was going to score because, you know, everyone loves a narrative against the Villa, don't they? But no, it was great to see him back. And I thought it was really nice that all the Villa fans joined in and welcomed him back onto the pitch. I thought that was a nice little heartwarming moment there in the second half, mate.
Classy touch, mate. Classy touch. I think on Duran, it's funny, like, I think with Duran and Bailey, they're both at like the opposite ends of the spectrum, where like Leon has all the talent and no confidence. And like right now, Duran has all the confidence and no talent. And that's not to say that he's shit, but you know, he's raw. He's not polished. And if you could find a balance for both, then that's a winner. But it's interesting, guys, like who do you think will start come Chelsea? Is it Bailey? Is it Traore? Is it Duran? Like, let us know in the comments. Obviously, we've got some time off, so yeah, it's going to be interesting coming back into that one. And it's a game that I very much feel like we can win, mate. And you know, as I said in the preview, our destiny is very much in our own hands at the moment. You beat Bournemouth, you beat Wolves, who are obviously they're still below us, but in terms of maybe, well, not after today's result, a resurgent team, but a team that certainly will be in and around where we're sort of hoping to mid-table at the very least, come the end of the season, beat them, beat Brentford, beat Brighton, could be on for an interesting end to the season.
It's been a good week to be a Villa fan, mate. Been a good week. Keenan Davis scores against the Blues. Cameron Archer got two today. We won today.
Keenan scored today as well. Against Wigan.
Oh, even better. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Brilliant goal,
We have, the women's team have a really big game tomorrow against City in the FA Cup. That's a big one at home. It'd be amazing if we could go and get a result there. And that would be a really nice way to end the week. So obviously they did what the men couldn't. They got a win at West Ham last weekend. So yeah, it's been a good week to be a Villa fan, mate. And going into this international break, that makes me happy.
Absolutely, mate. It's just a shame that QPR couldn't beat Blues with an Adoma or a Roger Bertrand goal or assist, isn't it? That would have been the perfect Saturday. But guys, let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. Very exciting to be a Villa fan right now. It just is. I'm absolutely buzzing off it, off that performance, off that win, and just the energy that's at the club right now. Also, Prince William was at the training ground the other day as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, so, of course. Of course.
Obviously, Villa fan.
Nassef and Wes in appearance as well today, weren't they?
They were indeed. Well, do you know what's interesting about that? Unai said in it, he was asked about it in his presser. And he said, well, the owners are the fans. They're the people who own the team, which I thought was a nice touch. And it was a very polite way of saying, please don't boo us when we pass back.
Yes.
He's a master of communications, Aruna. I swear he's got a PR degree. He must have. The way every single press conference without fail, our fans are amazing. I love our fans. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's playing up to us, but he knows how important we are. Like, you know, what he's saying isn't untrue.
100%.
So I'm a sucker for it, man. I love him. I love his interviews. Sometimes I have to watch him twice to be able to understand. But, you know, he always articulates his points very well. It still feels surreal, mate, that we're sat here and the turnaround that we've had from the start of the season. You know, we lost 2-0 to this team on the opening day of the season. And Emi Buendia didn't start. Ollie Watkins didn't start. Tyron Mings didn't start. Look at us now. It's completely turned around our season. And this just feels like the beginning of a very exciting story.
100%, mate. 100%.
So, absolutely, man. So, guys, let us know, as I said, how you felt about the game in the comment section down below. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe and make sure you follow us on TikTok and Instagram. On TikTok, it's at Heart of the Hole. On Instagram, it's at VillaFillaPod. There's a link tree that Dan made that'll be in the description with all the relevant links, Apple, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. Don't forget to leave us a review on there, 5-star, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, up the Villa.